You are listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. The challenges of writing about an iconic historical figure are daunting, and they grow if you're also an actor taking on the role. On this program in April of 2015, I spoke with Herbert Seguenza. He was in the Valley for a one-man show about Pablo Picasso. He played Picasso and had also written the play. Valley actor Marcelino Quiñones is taking on a similar task. He plays the title role in El Che, which he wrote about Che Guevara. Performances begin later this week and run through Sunday at the Phoenix Center for the Arts. Marcelino, I wanted to make sure, does it open Thursday or Friday? I meant to ask you that.
We are opening Friday.
Okay, so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with El Che. A lot of people, when they see Che Guevara, they think of the T-shirt image, of course. Is that a plus or minus when you are writing about someone who has this sort of iconic visual people probably have in their own minds, even if they haven't read about him, this guy must have been a certain way?
Exactly. Well, that was actually the impetus for writing the play. In 2006, I was very involved with the comprehensive immigration reform movement, and I'd walk outside and I'd go to marches and I'd see a lot of people wearing the shirt. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm never going to wear that shirt until I understand the person behind, that olive-skinned person on the T-shirt. And so that led me on a journey of discovery, and every single book I could find, it became part of my library. And so I just became very intrigued by his life, not necessarily who he was in that picture that Alberto Cordova took, but who he was as a human being, who he was as a father, as a husband, as a teacher. And so that's really the focus of the play.
How much creative license did you take? Did you have to take, even in looking and really doing research, knowing who he was, in order to make this something dramatic for the theater? Did you have to add some stuff?
Not really. Che's life was pretty dramatic to begin with. I'm really big on, if I have a group of people there, I believe in honesty and I believe in truth. And so the people that I gather at the theater, I'm not throwing any conspiracy theories, and I'm not throwing my own thoughts as to why Che died in 1967. I really, the process was reading John Lee Anderson's A Revolutionary Life and Richard Harris's The Last Revolutionary, and then combining stories that both authors would include, looking at other documentaries. And so the scenes or the moments that I chose to focus on are based in history and are based in common knowledge about Ernesto Che Guevara.
Fidel Castro also is someone that he came in contact with, and that character is in the play as well. What sort of dynamic did they have? Because certainly a lot of Americans have a certain perception of what Fidel Castro is like. We have definitely placed more on him. We're actually much more familiar with him as well. What sort of dynamic did they have?
Well, Fidel Castro is played by Valley journalist James Garcia, so I just want to throw that in there. But the dynamic that they have in many ways is big brother, small brother. But Fidel is a much more pragmatic thinker and a much more pragmatic doer, if you would. And so Che is the idealistic. Che is the, insatiable youth who's going from one country to another trying to achieve his ideals. And Fidel is much more calm, much more strategic and calculating. And so that relationship plays out. Fidel is featured in a number of scenes in our play. The first one that he's featured in is from 1955, when Fidel meets Che in Maria Antonia's apartment in Mexico City.
How many years does the play cover?
The play starts in October of 1967, and then it's a series of vignettes that go back. So we go from 1967 as far back as 1955. So that initial meeting between Fidel and Che is how the play starts. Che is captured, and this again is according to history, is captured, but because he needs to release his story, and because even till the very end, he's still trying to convert one more person to join the struggle, to join the cause. That's what gets him to start talking about his life and reflecting on what he did or should have done.
Now, whenever someone leads a cause, we know this from history, whether good or bad, depending on how things work out, there is a certain charisma, a certain magnetism that someone has to have. Even when we look at someone and say, "But how is it that that person got thousands of people or whatnot to follow him?" What sort of charisma did he have? What made him special in that sense?
Well, I think Che's charisma was his looks. He was very witty. He was very straightforward. and very impatient and also hardworking. So the things that he talked about, sacrifice and this creation of the new man, he employed those. He exemplified those. And so volunteering his Sundays, cutting sugarcane, spending 16, 18 hours a day working on this cause was part of his life. When he was in the Cuban Revolution, it started in 1956, and then 56, 57, Che would fight as a soldier, would cure as a doctor, and then at nights would go off somewhere by himself and journal everything that had happened. And those journals led to passages of a war, which was the first book that he wrote, where he really creates a strategy for how to create a guerrilla warfare. And he talks about the focus, el foco. But again, he'd go and be a soldier, be a doctor, and then still go and spend some hours by himself jotting down his thoughts. So just, you know, a tremendous work ethic.
This started out as a one-man show that you wrote. And I'm always interested in the creative process, because I think if you are able as the creative force to say, all right, I'm going to write this in a way where I'm performing it, as challenging, as daunting as that is, I think I could see that. But when you've already had a finished product and then you're enlisted to make it into something bigger, I presume excited about that. But what were the inherent challenges with that go beyond just writing a one-man show?
Well, the piece in itself was in good shape in 2007 and 2009, the two times that I performed it. I was approached by Daniel Enrique Perez, Guillermo Reyes, and Trino Sandoval from Teatro Bravo to rewrite my play so that it could be included in an anthology of Latino heritage on stage. And that book is, you can get it on Amazon. But anyhow, it was a series of monologues because it was a one-person show. And so what I had to do was take those monologues and simply include the people that Che was talking to, the people that Che was delivering those monologues to. I also had to add new scenes to carry the arc of the play, if you would. That was a lot of fun because I was able to play with other people's voices. You know, for so long it was all about revolution and imperialism and, you know, sacrifice. And all of a sudden we start talking about pregnancy and we start talking about taking care of kids and we start talking about other forms of pain or romance even. So that was actually very enjoyable because I was able to play with other people's voices in my head.
Marcelino, finally, let's talk a little bit about diversity in theater around the Valley specifically. You're very passionate about that. What does El Che, what could that lead to as far as that goes? And in general, what's your perspective on whether there is, and I'm talking about diversity when it comes to getting more people of a different background involved in theater?
You know what, it's an interesting question that could go on for longer than the last minute that we have. But one of the things that's very important is this idea of interculturalism, so that when you bring different people into the theater to learn from each other. The larger aim of El Che is to create a structure for professional theater that just happens to tell Latino stories. I'm very proud of our producer, Benny Morel, and our director, Matthew Wiener, who have really taken on this challenge of creating professional theater that happens to tell Latino stories, because we understand the value. The demographics here in Arizona, in Phoenix, are changing. Latinos currently make up 40% of the population. And so it's important that people enter the theater and they see themselves on stage. This is a first attempt at creating professional theater that also showcases Latinos on stage.
And finally, when you step on stage, do you embody Che at that point?
It starts beforehand, right? Yeah. It starts.
Put the beret on.
I put the beret on, but it starts in the car. You know, it starts when you're driving to the theater, and then all of a sudden you start, you know, nodding your head or looking a certain way. That's not to say I'm method. That's just, you know, the actor trying to get into the body and into that world, and also asking Che for permission to embody him. As strange as that might sound, that's a negotiation that has to take place, where the actor has to ask that historical figure to be let in.
Marcelino Quiñones is the actor and playwright behind El Che, which is performing at the Phoenix Center for the Arts Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Marcelino, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve.